What if your focus on growth is the only thing limiting your growth?
It is. How do I get out of my own way then?
That's a great question.
I mean, everything you're saying.
Answer that question from your heart, not your head this time, because you do know the answer.
For me, always growth has been my number one. That's like, you know, hands down, you know, the specialness, that's already there. That's not something I strive for. It's there. I don't have to. But the happiness, on the other hand, with the growth, it's a kind of a tricky, it's a tricky place to be. And so for the last 2 years, I've been really focusing on the acceptance of where you're at, where someone else is at, while you're still focused on growing. And
yes,
having that true self-acceptance along with compassion, like you said, yes, compassion and the self-compassion, compassion for others being wherever they're at, whatever journey they're at. And, you know, it's an easy thing to say, but, you know, especially when you're focused on growth, then you kind of have that perspective, like, everybody should be focused on growth, right?
Right.
And so, and that's not the case, you know, and everybody's not on the same journey. And so, you know, trying to really practice that self-acceptance, kind of putting a limit on, you know, how much am I going to see, how much I can change out of this experience, how much can I grow out of this experience? Because, you know, for me, oh, well, growth's important, so let me see how much I can glean from this so then I can move ahead 10 more steps. And so, but that is a tricky place. And so,
what's the purpose of growth?
For me, that's kind of the purpose of living. There's so much to see and do and experience in life. I don't know.
Do you have to grow to experience and see all of life?
I think they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. What if they didn't? What if they were sometimes completely separate experiences?
Well, I mean, you know, I've traveled about 50 countries. I've lived in 8. So a lot of it is just experiencing for the sake of experiencing and being in a culture for the sake of being in it and learning. But I kind of do feel like the byproduct of that is still growth, right?
And so,
even though that's maybe not why I'm doing it.
No, I understand. But it is. That's why you see it as growth. Because you could see it as many things. You could see it as experiencing life fully. You could see it as enjoyment. I'm just curious, what would happen if enjoyment was your focus instead of growth? Would you stop growing, do you think?
I suppose I think in a way that I wouldn't grow as much.
Yes. So what if you didn't grow as much, but you enjoyed more? Would that be a form of growth?
Well, absolutely. The byproduct of that would be growth then.
Your experience of growth, how much of it is in the head versus the heart?
It's mostly head, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to you, I feel you have such a beautiful spirit, and your commitment to growth is something I respect, because I have a very high value on that, obviously.
No, I can feel you on that. I relate 100%.
So I relate to you as well. But there was a stage in my life where everything was growth as well. And what I found, it was just like my primary question, which is how do you make it better? It's another version of growth, right?
Right.
I don't now have the compulsion, because it's a compulsion for you at this stage. That's why there's not as much enjoyment. That's why it's in your head, not in your heart as much. What if it would be impossible for you at this stage not to grow, even if you didn't think of it? Say, I don't focus on my daughter growing, but she's growing constantly for some reason. She's growing mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. I've been gone for 9 days. She'll have grown in so many different ways. I'm capturing some on video while she's there. Some of it I'll notice when I get back. But I don't think she has any intention to grow.
Touché.
But she is enjoying her life immensely, and she's exploring her life, which also you do. And by the way, I share those variety pulls, because it's not just growth that pulls you, it's also variety.
It's experience. I mean,
that's,
yeah,
right.
the experience of life. We've got one life that we know of. Why not do and see and experience as much as possible?
I'm with you
a million percent. Yeah.
And you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what would happen if it was something you just absolutely knew happened automatically? What if you understood how incredibly easy it is to be Tina, this beautiful soul who's always growing, always experiencing, always opening her heart, always expecting more from herself, but you felt the ease of being Tina. And that ease produced even more experience. That ease experience created even more growth without even thinking about it. What if your focus on growth is the only thing limiting your growth? Answer that question from your heart, not your head this time. Because the only thing limiting your growth is your absolute obsession with growth. It's so crazy, isn't it? The thing that you love so much could actually limit you in some areas, not all, but some of the areas that matter to you, like intimacy, which ironically you would think more growth would make more intimacy, but focusing on constant growth doesn't necessarily create that. What if it was easy to be Tina? Yeah, that's almost humorous to you.
It is.
I see that. But what if it was real? What if God had given you all these challenges and you've showed your strength and you stepped up for all of them, which is very clear to me. And I respect that immensely. But what if you were now entered a new chapter? What if God was opening a new door to you in this moment? A door you've been wanting to open for a long time, but afraid to open because you're afraid it would mean less growth. But it would actually mean more growth, less obsession, more experience, more delightful experiences, even more than now, which is hard to imagine. But because you can't taste an apple in your head.
So how do you let yourself off the hook then?
Oh, well, the first thing is you realize that you're the only one who put yourself on the hook. God didn't.
Right.
No one else did. You thought that's what you had to do in order to have that sense of being enough.
To be the best version of myself, and anything out less is acceptable.
And the best version of yourself is where there's ease. Of course, growth will continue to happen because life will pull you towards that, and it's your intention. It's a core intention for you. There's certain things in our life that happen no matter what. I call them core intentions. And when you start to realize certain things happen no matter what, you'll have a lot less effort and a lot more joy. You'll have a lot less concern or uncertainty or sometimes even fear. I would really be curious to feel what it feels like if you loved Tina just as she is and knew that she was going to continue to grow and there was nothing to fear and there was nothing to have to do and that you get to do all these things, which I know you know also, but without the tension. The tension is the obsession. The obsession doesn't allow you to experience it completely. Whatever you resist persists, right? But it's hard for us overachievers to think of the word acceptance.
That's the trick right there. That's the true self-acceptance,
which is also love. Once you accept something, you can then to appreciate it. Once you appreciate it, you can start to feel grateful for it. Once you feel grateful for it, you can actually learn to love it. Once you love it, game over and things transform. And then all that's left is the truth. And then growth happens automatically because you can't stop it. Then we could go to all the same countries or more. We could continue to expand in all the ways we've expanded, but there wouldn't be a tension inside. Because spiritual development is not how many Bible verses or Bhagavad Gita or the works of Islam or any other great book or study. That is not the study of your own development spiritually. It's how comfortable you can be in your own skin, just the way you are.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-FOR Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.